Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Well, it's holiday season, but for many of our neighbors, hunger will be a constant and unwelcome companion in the coming weeks. One group that does something about this crisis in seven central North Carolina counties is the Raleigh-based Interfaith Food Shuttle. Recently, I sat down with the group's advocacy manager, Julie Cox, to learn more about the scope of the problem, what her group is doing about it, and some of the public policies that all of us can weigh in on to combat hunger. Well, Julie Cox, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me.
We know that hunger is a year-round problem, but it's important that folks focus on it at this time of year. We're glad you're back with us to discuss this. Remind our listeners a little bit about who the Interfaith Food Shuttle is.
So the Interfaith Food Shuttle is a non-traditional food bank. We serve seven counties in central North Carolina: Wake, Durham, Orange, Johnston, Chatham, Nash, and Edgecombe counties. We're a Feeding America food bank, and they decide our service area. So, and how we're non-traditional is that besides distributing food, we also take it to the point of need and to the communities. So we're like a more traditional food bank. People come in
right,
and
like
receive the
store,
food.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. We take it out, and we have different methods for providing food, like Backpack Betty's or mobile markets, which is set up kind of like a grocery store. And you can come in and choose your own food. That's a big thing for us is choice, where you get to choose your food. We don't just pack up boxes and you get what you get. We also have gardening programs. We have a farm, and we have nutrition and community health.
We've talked about this a lot on News and Views, but I think it always is important to reiterate some of the numbers and just the scale of the problem that we're confronting. Here in the wealthiest country in the world and one of the wealthiest states, we still have a massive hunger problem in our state.
More than 1,500,000 people in North Carolina are at risk of hunger, which is really crazy when you consider what a big agricultural state we are. But there's obviously a distribution problem, and the issue is actually, while it's great in certain urban areas, also rural communities like Edgecombe County have a really high rate of hunger and poverty. So, you know, there's an issue of jobs, you know, whether you even live close to a grocery store or a market where you can get food, that kind of thing.
We know also that, of course, it's been exacerbated in recent months by natural disasters. I saw a number. Governor Cooper sent out a release the other day. Maybe you saw it, too. It said something like 720,000 North Carolinians had received emergency food assistance as a result, you know, just directly related from the hurricane. So obviously that's Hurricane Florence. But Florence, Michael, these storms we've had have just made the problem that much worse for lots of folks.
Yeah. And I think what people don't realize, and the coast, of course, was devastated, the southern coast, right. And a lot of people were flooded and lost their homes and just have so much to deal with. But also a lot of some of the counties in our area, there was so much rain that Johnston, Orange, Durham, and Chatham counties were also declared disaster areas because of the rain. And then when you also, we compound that with so much rain at harvest time, a lot of farmers lost their crops, and so they're dealing with all kinds of issues on that end.
Yeah, it's a tough time for a lot of folks, but there's a lot of misconceptions, I think it's fair to say, about hunger. We have sort of our image of the homeless person on the street as the one who's the hungry man or woman in our society, but the reality, of course, is that it spans the whole lifespan. I mean, there are children, there are seniors, right? I mean, it's people you wouldn't expect necessarily.
Yes, we're in the top 10 for highest senior hunger rates. We're on all these great lists of places to live, but we're also on list of places where people are the hungriest. That's not good. And we are here with the help of all of our volunteers and donors to help try to ease the situation for people. And also not just to feed them, but to our motto is feed, teach, grow. So we want to go beyond feeding hunger and try and look at like a holistic way of approaching hunger. And where does your food come from? How to choose healthy food, growing your own food when you can.
I would think choosing healthy food is a real challenge for folks who might not have access to Whole Foods or some, you know, highfalutin grocery store. Maybe they're even having to deal with just the corner market to, you know, feed their family. It's got to be a real challenge. So that's something you all try to address.
Right. So more than 35% of the food we distribute is fresh produce. And that comes from various different organizations. We pick up food that's close to going out of date, but is still edible.
Right.
We pick that up from grocery stores, and some of it never even comes back to our warehouse. I'd say the majority of it doesn't. It goes straight out to mobile markets or partner agencies like Catholic Charities or Urban Ministries for distribution within those networks. And then we have school pantries where we stock fresh produce when we can and when the school is willing to store it. Our mobile markets always have fresh produce available. And some of our Backpack Buddies program, again, that's something we have to work out with the school, how they're able to distribute it. So we try to provide healthy food as best we can.
Of course, the fact remains that as much as y'all do, hunger is so massive, we've got to have public intervention. We need public support from public programs, SNAP, other public benefits to have any chance of really keeping it from just spiraling completely out of control. But that remains a very controversial issue in Washington these days, just fighting for a basic public safety net to help folks who don't have enough. And that's a debate still raging in our national capital right now.
So the Farm Bill, which includes the funding for SNAP, was put off. The vote was put off until after the midterms, and it's still being debated now. Things keep coming up that kind of take their eye off the ball. But SNAP is, you know, it's vital for people, and most of the people on SNAP are working. I think the thing we're advocating is, and food banks in general are advocating, is that you don't want to place more work restrictions on people, because a lot of people, the majority of people, like I said, on SNAP are working. Some people live in counties where there simply aren't jobs. And now, you know, with news coming out that more jobs are being lost, we want to be really careful about imposing that on
There's
people.
A certain irony and a certain hypocrisy even of the notion of requiring people to get food assistance to work, because if they could find a good job, then they wouldn't need food assistance.
Right. And a lot of people are already working multiple jobs, more than one job. And, it's hard to work when you have children because daycare is expensive, or you want to be home when they get home from school. It's just a very complicated issue. And the majority of people on SNAP are working mothers. So SNAP supports families, and that's very important to keep children and keep everyone fed, but particularly children who have no choice in the matter.
Yeah. We know that hunger is a year-round problem, but we don't want to miss the chance to take advantage of people's desire to contribute during the holidays. I know y'all have several new programs and initiatives and even match programs. Let's talk about some of those things that y'all have got going for people who want to contribute to the effort to fight hunger. I know you've got a program called Hunger Fighters, which is for folks who want to contribute to the food shuttle and might want to make it a year-round contribution, right?
Right. So if you donate $365 or become essentially a sustainer, and $30,
a dollar a day,
exactly, and $1 equals 5 meals, so that's important to remember too. But you can become a hunger fighter. You donate that money, and then you get a card in the mail that gives you discounts to area restaurants and the North Carolina Football Club, the soccer organization.
Right, right.
And you could give it as a gift in someone's name, set that up. And then we also have a matching program right now during the holiday season, thanks to the Leon Levine Foundation and the Stewards Fund. Every dollar you donate at an increase donation, a lapse donation, that'll be matched dollar for dollar by the Leon Levine Foundation and the Stewards Fund.
Easy to multiply your gift if you give right now. You also have the Plate It Forward program. Maybe talk to folks a little bit about that.
So Plate It Forward's kind of cool.
That's Plate, P-L-A-T-E, Plate It Forward.
Right. So if you use the hashtag Plate It Forward, all one word, and tag at foodshuttle.org on social media, it just take a picture of food and add those hashtags and tags in, Happy Inhale Restaurant will donate $5 for every photo, taken up to $1,500. So you don't have to spend any money other than on your own food. And that goes to help feed hungry people. So you can increase your own donation that way. Or, if you don't have enough to give, that's an easy way to give.
And then there's the Amazon wish list, right?
Right. And we do have an Amazon wish list. All of our program managers went through and picked out their top items that they need. So if you want to give something, I saw a pitchfork being delivered today, which I assume is for one of our gardens or farms. We just appreciate that. You can always volunteer. There are volunteer opportunities. We could not do what we do without volunteers. So every level of giving is very important.
And the website?
Foodshuttle.org. You can go on there and learn about all of our different programs, Feed, Teach, Grow, the farm, the garden, the nutrition programming, Backpack Buddies, grocery bags for seniors, mobile markets. There are lots of ways to get involved, lots of programs that need support, and it's important that we're able to feed as many people as we can and also teach them skills that can empower them to make healthy choices and grow their own food potentially.
Please do check them out, folks. Foodshuttle.org. It's an amazing way to get into the holiday spirit, do some great work for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2019. Definitely. Thank you, Julie. We'll do this again real soon. Keep
Thanks.
Up the good work.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.